It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. The Mark Reardon Show.
He's a bully with $17 million and a security detail.
Quit the tough guy act. You know where to find me. Any place, cowboy.
It's common sense. You know, some things are law, and I'm all in favor of it. And some things are common sense.
And I heard a boom in my whole house shook.
This is the Reardon Roundtable.
All right, let's get going here for the final Reardon Roundtable before the election. I feel like we've been talking about it for 4 years, mainly because we've been talking about it for 4 years, I think,
feels
right?
Feels like 40.
Sue Thomas, how are you, first and foremost?
I am fine. Thanks for asking.
Beautiful fall day. I like the crisper temperatures. We had a great Halloween last night, and my daughter played hooky from school today, I think, for the first time.
Okay.
How about that?
Wow.
And yeah. I used to love that. We were always, yeah, bet.
Oh, yeah, from all the candy.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, we always had the day off after.
Well, she kind of worked her magic here. Jay Duker is here. Welcome back.
Yes.
You were in Tuscaloosa last week. I was in Houston last week. We'll talk about that a little bit later. State Rep Steve Butts is also with us. Hi, Steve.
Hey, Mark. Great to see you.
Thank you for joining us on this Friday. And former State Senator John Lamping, who is a veteran of the Roundtable, who will also join me once again for our third election night together on Tuesday. Tuesday night. John, how are you? Let's make sure I got the right mic on. Hold on. Let's try that again. Take two.
Happy All Saints Day to you and all listening Catholics.
Do me a favor. Pull that microphone just a little bit closer up to your mouth because I can't hear you as well as I should. Let's get right into the audio here. So that, yeah, I couldn't hear him very well. We'll make sure we correct that. Here is what Donald Trump said to Tucker Carlson. So let's play what actually was said about Liz Cheney. And by the way, it's pretty funny that the closing argument that the Democrats have right now is, basically defending the honor of Liz Cheney. But we'll talk about that.
She's a radical war hawk. Let's put her with a rifle standing there with nine barrels shooting at her, okay? Let's see how she feels about it. You know, when the guns are trained on her face. You know, they're all war hawks when they're sitting in Washington in a nice building saying, oh, gee, we'll... Let's send 10,000 troops right into the mouth of the enemy. But she's a stupid person.
Well,
I don't think you even need to call.
Hang on. Here we go. This happens every time. I got my producer switch, Sue. Yeah. Can you do me a favor and tell them what's happening here so they know?
What's happening?
Well, it's clicking into the next piece of audio, which is the one thing that I always tell people to not have happen. All right. So here is the folks on CNN sort of relating what happened.
I don't think you even need to call it Firebond. He's saying quite explicitly and unambiguously that Liz Cheney should be shot, should be executed by firing squad.
4 days out from Election Day. And former President Donald Trump is escalating his violent rhetoric, suggesting one of his most prominent critics, the former Congresswoman Liz Cheney, should be fired upon.
So it's just a bunch of nonsense. John, I'll let you start. You guys on the Democratic side and the legacy media, you manipulate this all the time. You did it with very fine people. And here they go again here in the closing days of this election.
Well, it's nothing new. And, you know, for people that just get their news from New York Times, Washington Post, CNN, MSNBC, which sadly tens of millions of people do, they really do think that what he intends to do is to put Liz Cheney in front of a firing squad. And if they really do think that...
Taylor Swift and Bruce Springsteen, too,
yeah,
if I had to guess.
If they really believe that, well, then whatever it takes to win this election is what needs to be done. You know, two assassination attempts, we need to have more. If he wins, we need to take him out still. That's what the left and the more importantly, the left media, they are saying, looking straight into the camera and saying, Donald Trump just said, put Liz Cheney in front of a firing squad. when we all know what he was saying was, she's a neocon. When she's in charge, we go to war. When we go to war, tens of thousands of young men and women get killed, and she should go with them and see what it's like before she pushes the next war. That's what he said. That's what he meant. But to have these, you know, high-paid, high-profile reporters report to tens of millions of people that he said put her in front of a firing squad is a very dangerous place.
Steve Butz, for us to be. Do you really agreed. Think that he said put her in front of a firing squad? If you listen to the context of that soundbite, he's talking about the war hawks.
If you listen in context, I'm going to go with that. But look at all the stupid stuff that comes out of his mouth. It's easy to misinterpret because you take exactly what the guy says. It is he who ratchets up the rhetoric. No.
But shouldn't CNN and the teams that are supposed to be the arbiters of the truth sort of separate some of that stuff out?
Yeah, maybe they should. And that's, I guess, what we're doing right now. But I'm just saying, even when we're just saying that the left was not condemning the assassination attempts, which I think, Mark, that's where you were going there. I'm like, that's crazy talk. It was condemned, these assassination attempts. To equate the two is just nonsense.
I mean, I don't think he was saying put her in front of a firing squad. I think it was a stupid conversation and a stupid way to say. John, if he had only said it in the way you said it, that, you know, what I find interesting is that there always has to be a lot of explaining for what comes out of his mouth. And that's part of the problem.
Lie about what he says.
Well, no, it should be clear as a bell. But the fact that he's like, you know, why not just say, oh, she's a war hawk. I'd like to see how she would feel if she were in the shoes of our men and women who have to deal with this. Like, if that's the point you're making, then say it. But he rambles like a loon, and then it starts to get. Now, do I think that the hyperbole on this is ridiculous? Absolutely, I do. But I also think that he causes his own problems, and he loves it. He walks that line in order to do this. And you know what? The left is stupid enough to take the bait. They shouldn't take the bait because that's what he's doing. He is trying to ratchet it up, and it's dumb for liberals to like take the bait on his nonsense.
Well, this has been such a crazy week because it started with the MSG thing, and then we got to the middle part of the week and we got the garbage truck, which was brilliant retail politics. And now you have the Liz Cheney thing. I don't know what's going to happen in the next 3 days. We still have 3 days to go with more of this
stuff.
But
mostly, like, a lot of people have already voted. So I don't know
what they have.
Who's
voted in this room? I voted. Jane, have you?
No, I had waited in line.
Okay, Steve and I. John, have you?
No, there's no line out in the
guest. So two of us have, and two of us have not. I voted a couple of days ago, mainly because, John, I knew we were going to be going so late on Tuesday. I didn't want to have my entire morning on Tuesday morning. Really, that was part of the logic that I used. It took me about 70 minutes at Grand Glaze a couple of days ago.
Yeah, Grand Glaze
is a
crowded one.
A lot of people have already voted. But in the closing days here, let's kind of get to the broad feeling of this election. We'll talk about some of our local Missouri stuff in a little bit. Look, I feel, this is just a gut check. My gut check is things are swinging pretty well for Trump right now in the swing states. Having said that, this race is going to be razor sharp. It's hard for me to believe, just knowing what I do about these states and past elections, looking at the polling. I'm no expert. John, you can challenge me. I don't think that he wins deep down. I don't think he ends up winning Wisconsin and Michigan. But I do think he wins Pennsylvania. And it may very well just come down, as we've been talking now for months, to Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I think he's winning. I think, and I have to say this as a Trump supporter, you know, he's run as good a race as he's going to run, and he's been on script as much as he's going to be on script. There's a lot of energy and positive feelings. If he made a mistake in this interview with Liz Cheney, you know he's going to do three or four more interviews in the next half day. He's put together an amazing team. I think this analogy that's out there that he's Captain America, and then there's the four Avengers, and that's JD and Tulsi and Elon. And who's the fourth Avenger? I'm forgetting. But I think that there's a lot of positivity behind that campaign, and you know, his closing message is, look, she broke it, I'll fix it. I was there before. You'll be with me again. We'll be successful. And so as a Trump supporter, I'm very happy with where the campaign is right here now and going into this weekend. You know, we'll see.
Well, you don't deny, though, that there's plenty of people on their side, because mainly motivated by, I think, hate of Trump, that they're pretty motivated, too.
Yeah, no, I'm going to say people are highly motivated. That's why I think, you know, it's great to have even this debate right before the election. But I've thought for at least a month or more, minds are made up. There might be a few thousand, might have been a few thousand Puerto Rican votes, might have changed in the past week, saying you could stub your toe going into the very end. I think right now it's all about appeal to your base and get your base out. And I think whoever turns out their voters, I think they're going to have the upper hand. The Pennsylvania thing, I think you're right. It's not just Fetterman's comments, but a couple relatives I have there. I think back, did maybe Kamala Harris pick the wrong running mate as vice president? Pennsylvania.
She knows things we don't know.
Must win. I'm sure.
No,
it
I know
is.
What you're talking about.
I'm sure it is.
Yeah.
But I'm just going with
you
that.
You mean on thinking. Shapiro?
Shapiro covered up a
right.
There's a reason.
Yeah. There's a really big
okay.
Thing.
See.
So I mean, but here's the thing: we heard this same rhetoric like in 22, the red wave. I mean, I see
Look,
a lot
I know.
Of
That's
Republicans.
That's why I've been very careful.
I see
Jane.
A lot of Republicans, not you guys, but I see a lot of Republicans saying this is over. He's won. And
it's
like,
not over.
I just feel like the declaring of victory, it's either something they're trying to manufacture or they're in their bubble. And because I just don't think, and I work hard to try to see both sides, and I think this right now
no,
is a complete coin
toss. No, it's not. Absolutely, it is a coin toss, and I agree with that wholeheartedly. However, I think you'd kind of rather be Trump right now than Harris looking at the numbers and looking at the way that they're trending. I don't think you can argue against that.
What I would say is look at women. And I'm just telling you, there's going to be more women voters than men, and that matters.
It does matter.
In the last 4 weeks, every week Trump has gotten stronger. Every week she's gotten weaker in the polls.
Based on what? Okay.
Well, popular vote. You're going into the general election first time.
I don't think he's going to win the popular vote, do you?
No.
He doesn't have to, Jason.
He doesn't have to, but I'm telling you.
But he leads in the national vote poll right now just by 0.5%. All right, let's say it's a dead heat. Yeah. She needs to win by 2.5 or 3% to
minimum.
Win this thing. Right, exactly.
Maybe. That's true. Maybe. It's true.
And so, you know, but I mean, we heard about this in 22, and I bought in, and I thought, oh, shoot.
Well, in 22, Trump wasn't on the ballot in 22. And in
he's been on the ballot since the day he walked down those steps.
He couldn't vote for Trump in 22. Now, I will say this. The House is in question now. Okay, the House has its own issues, its own problems. What happened in 22 is a problem with the House. Republicans will be lucky to take the House, even if Trump wins this election. Mm-hmm. Look, Trump's going to win either by a little or by a lot. He's going to lose if he loses by very little. And I'd rather be me than
Jane. I will say, and I've said this for 3 weeks now. My caveat in all of this is 2022 because yes. I felt kind of revved up here.
I think everybody did.
We were spiking the ball, red wave. Things are going
did.
Our way,
yeah.
and that we found out that was not the case. So there is caution here.
And I think a lot of people, frankly, have just gone underground. I think the Trump people are louder, but I also think that I think there is a quiet. Force out there that says not again. And I don't know. I mean, you could ask me one day and I would say, oh, yeah, it's going Republican. The next day I'm like, not so,
I don't think it's a quiet force. I think a lot of people want to say never again. But what I think the one number that really popped to me this week, Harry Anton over on CNN, and CNN's had to kind of admit some things here this week. But there's 28% of the people in this country that somehow feel, I'm baffled by this, that we're heading in the right direction. But that's actually a much larger number than typical in a presidential race. And when that number hovers around 28 or worse, the incumbent or the incumbent's party does not necessarily win. That's anecdotal, okay? But I'm pointing this out because of the economy and what people feel like on the economy. This is not, even when you look at some of the independent voters that are quoted by the New York Times, I outlined one of the things. What they say, look, the one thing that they don't agree with is she's not going to change anything. She's admitted it. She wants to stay with status quo with independent voters. That's not good enough for them when they can't pay their grocery bills.
No, I do think that's a solid point. And one of the worst answers of the campaign, I think, for the vice president was when you're asked, what would you change from the Biden administration? We say, I can't think of anything. That answer just wasn't.
That
just
was
not. It was just not well thought.
And you wouldn't do that no matter who you are. No matter if you're aligned with somebody or not, everyone has something they want to do differently.
Indicators, if it's all about the economy, I mean, I know we like to beat it because nobody wants to say things are getting better. Things have been regularly getting better. It would appear we've had the soft landing that seemed to be impossible. So we're getting there. Does it have to get better? It does. The trend is in the right direction.
Well, jobs numbers
the
that would argue against right that right now. You have interest rates that are falling, which indicates
gas prices are low.
Gas prices are plummeting.
It's the border. It's inflation. It's foreign policy. Okay, what was Trump's border? Close. What was inflation? Non-existent. What was the foreign policy? No wars. Kamala's offering more of the same, same as cumulative inflation of 25%. We're at war all across the world. There are wars flaring up all across the world, and we're funding them. So we're real close to that, and we've allowed 10,000 people a day to cross our border, and they're in inner cities taking up all kinds of social service dollars. So I think that's what Trump has done a good job of framing. This is what you had with me. This is what you had with Biden. And she said she's Biden. That's how people will feel going
all right,
to the polls.
Hang tight. We got one segment down here. It's a Reardon Roundtable for a Friday, the final roundtable before the election. Two more segments to go. John Lamping, Steve Butch, Jane Duker. We're coming back with more.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
One of the guys in the studio with me right now, former State Senator John Lamping, is going to be here on election night as well. And John's going to be nice enough to join me in the 5 o'clock hour as well. We'll talk a little politics. Jane, I know you retweeted this. I'm very excited. Aaron Moriarty from 48 Hours and CBS is going to join us. Chris Smith, my friend Chris, who was shot in the head 3 years ago, the night before Thanksgiving, they're going to tell his story. And Leslie Reeves, who was killed up in Farmersville tomorrow night at 9 o'clock on KMOV. And Aaron will join me with a preview of that in the 5 o'clock hour. We have Senator Schmidt checking in from a Trump rally this afternoon. Of course, all our fun stuff in the 4 o'clock hour, including Sue's News. So let's kind of get into some of the local state races, yeah, et cetera. Jane, let me start with you. This is, for me, just having been around a lot of election cycles in Missouri, this is a little odd. You know, when I was on KMOX in 2008, 3 weeks before the election, John McCain called me live on the air. And he did that because Missouri was a very competitive state. I believe we had a Democrat governor at the time, right?
Yes.
And maybe even a Democrat attorney general. So Missouri's changed quite a bit.
Except for Peter Kinder, who was the lieutenant governor,
right,
who beat Sam Page.
So now it's almost, Steve, I know you were in California. I was in Texas last week, and every freaking ad was, you know, Colin Allred, Ted Cruz. I see a lot of Lucas Kuntz and Josh Hawley, don't get me wrong, but it's nothing like these swing states right now. And it seems like that's not even going to be a close race. We know that, right?
Yeah, we're no longer bellwether. So the money's not here. I think, like you said, the Senate race is getting some money. I'm seeing more about even like state Senate. They're running ads. They're the propositions.
Well, we can talk about some of the Senate races because those are interesting, right?
The propositions are where all the money is in Missouri. I mean, we've gone from being a bellwether presidential state to being a consultant's dream for the amount of ballot proposals that voters, I mean, that's what's taking so long.
Gene, I'm so confused. I thought the Republicans fixed that with initiative petition reform in the last session.
Yeah, no, they didn't get to that. Didn't get to that.
I think Kuntz is going to outspend Hawley. I think
that wouldn't be a surprise.
He's raised a lot of money,
so too,
but it's a ton of money being spent on that race.
I'm really looking forward to see where that dust settles there. I mean, I think that...
I think Hawley's probably going to underperform.
I think single digits would be interesting. I think this is just the last time.
So you think less than 10 points?
I think it could be. And I don't think the money would be there if it wasn't going to be that close. And also, I think this is the last time Josh runs statewide here.
I think he'll underperform the rest of the
Republicans. Okay, Amendment 2, Amendment 3, they're going to pass or not? Amendment 2, of course, is the sports wagering. Amendment 3, the abortion issue.
I'm afraid Amendment 2 is going to go down. I think Amendment 3
I'm worried about Amendment 2
bubble.
Also, and I hope that it passes.
And 5.
Well, Amendment 5 is the Lake of the Ozarks casino, right?
Yeah, and I thought people were like, look, I'm of the view, if they want it, fine. I don't care if that's what they want.
Well, I voted for it, but Steve, what do you feel on Amendment 2 and Amendment 3? The polling on Amendment 2 has not been that great, and I don't know if it is going to pass.
You know, if you're just a St. Louis-centric or you like sports betting and you like sports in general, you think, well, it's going to pass like, you know, with 80% of the vote. But it's tough to get a gambling bill passed, any gambling bill, passed statewide in Missouri.
Well,
that's one of the
and
issues.
And the claims for education fall flat because a lot of us were here when all this happened at the lottery.
Why didn't they just say, I mean, my message would have been every
freedom.
Surrounding state is taking, is taking our money.
Yes.
Why, if you don't have to gamble, if you don't want to gamble,
thank
don't.
Thank you, Jane. I think they were off on the messaging.
I think people, I mean, everything was about education, which means nothing was.
Yeah. It should have been.
They should have been had a different message.
If you want to bet,
it was a lot of money.
Betting, you know, let people do it. It's crazy. You have to drive across the river.
Yeah.
A couple guys in our office do it a couple times a week.
I send money to Vegas every week.
Why shouldn't I spend this money in Missouri? I'm like, I can't tell you. I think we should have gotten it through the legislature. Didn't happen.
You think it will? If it fails, do you think you guys will be able to
I do
take
think it can
on?
Get
under Mike Kehoe, I would think that it might, actually.
That's what
Donald
I think.
Trump Jr. endorsed Amendment 2, by the way. They're running ads, so just keep that in mind. The David Gregory Fearless Joe Peerless race in Senate District, what is it, 15?
15.
Andrew Koenig's seat. That's the most competitive, perhaps locally. There's a lot of money that's being tossed into that. The Amendment 3 issue and abortion playing a role here. John, what's your take on that? How important is that? Because the Republicans have a supermajority. That's on the line here in this election.
Yeah, I'm very intrigued by the race. It's very reminiscent of my race in that you had the dominant party. That district's like Republican plus 3 or plus 4. Mine was Democrat plus 9. The Democrats in my race had a very contentious primary, much like the Republicans did. My understanding is like the mayors in Chesterfield and out that way don't like David Gregory. They're actually endorsing Peerless. Peerless is a very competent, capable person. He worked for the Drury family as an attorney. He's raised over $1 million. And I think if he's out there pitching that I'm just capable and competent and he's got to get some Republicans to vote for him, well, there's ways to find out what kind of guy he is, and I think that there's a very good chance that he'll prevail. It's a really important seat, though. Mark Cox's show, I've been championing the idea that we need to win this seat, because here's what's going to happen. If Peerless wins this race, and then he'll be the incumbent in 4 years, it's almost impossible to beat a Democratic incumbent, though we'll try. And if he holds that seat for the rest of the 20s, when we redraw the maps in 2031, we will draw the Republican Party out of St. Louis City and County. Mm-hmm. When I took office, I was the fourth of 7 state senators in St. Louis City and County. If David Gregory wins, he will be the only state senator in St. Louis City
Republican.
And County. Republican.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And if he loses, I think that'll be the end of the Republican Party. As we know it in St. Louis City and St. Louis County.
Well, they've been able to paint him as an extremist on the abortion issue, and that's sort of where this race is all about.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of Republicans down there, but they're also not necessarily MAGA Republicans. So I do think that Peerless is making inroads with regard to sort of, I call them, there's the Mary Kay Republicans and then there's the Mary I Republicans. Mary Institute versus Mary Kay Cosmetics. I think the Mary I Republicans are going to see something in Joe Peerless that they like. I mean, he worked at a big company. He's not going to be some left-wing, you know.
The Drury family, the Drury company is a super conservative.
Absolutely. And they like him.
The big thing, those of us involved in politics can tell you, and the craziest thing in this race is David Gregory has not been campaigning hard and Joe Peerless has been...
And
you
he's
know,
got
pedal
like
to the metal.
They did not want to. I'm just going to tell you that we tried to get. I thought David would want to come on and talk about these issues. They didn't want to do it because they felt like anything he would say about the abortion issue would just come back and they'd use it to hurt him. So that seems like an odd strategy to not even be willing to come on a pretty friendly radio station to ask questions about
Catholics.
The race.
I mean, it's not crazy to be pro-life. I mean. You know, we tend to think it is our party, but you know, I mean, you know, there's a lot of St. Louis Catholics who like Republicans, you know, and are pro-life, and I mean, and there are Democrats who are pro-life.
None of all the people on the ballot on Tuesday in Missouri, the only ones that are out there campaigning against Amendment 3 actively are the Bob Onder on this side of the state and House reps on the other side of the state. Mike Kehoe has said tacitly a few weeks ago, I don't think it's a good idea. He's not campaigning. Parsons is not campaigning against Amendment 3. Mm-hmm. None of these guys are campaigning against it.
It still may lose, which I'm shocked. I did not think it was going to happen.
There's very little money that went to the no vote. Quite a bit of money came into the state to vote.
Well, we all spent 5-1, but you know, down in Florida where the threshold is 60%, you've got DeSantis campaigning all across the state against their version of Amendment 3. Where's Mike Parson? Other than like, I know where Mike is on Sunday afternoons. He's watching the Chiefs play, but he's nowhere on Amendment 3.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not even running for office.
But I will say this. I think the one message that the pro Amendment 3 people did not properly address was the transgender thing. I think they have found a shiny object to get people to look at and say.
Absolutely.
Know, and I don't agree with that interpretation, but. Nobody addressed it.
Yep.
Nobody addressed it in the beginning and said, this is why this is baloney. And I feel like that message has been more effective than just the straight abortion message. And I think a lot of people are relying on that to say, I'm against this and wouldn't otherwise be.
Now, having said all of that, and we're all trying to be as smart about these things as we can possibly be, 2 days ago, the Federalist Society, Leo, pushed in $1 million on the no on 3. And decisions like that only get made for two reasons. One is
it's close.
It's close. and it could prevail, are two, and this is where I was talking about Josh's race, it's necessary to narrow it to keep somebody else from being in trouble.
From being harmed.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. I mean, I think for these ballot initiatives, if you're not 55, 56 going into Election Day, because you lose points on election, you just do. And so you need that cushion. And I'm not sure that three kept that momentum. I think
it's going to be interesting. Yeah. You know, I guess we've all assumed that it was going to pass, but it could pass, but I don't think it's going to be.
I always thought it would be close. I did.
Yeah, you're the only one.
Pro-life state. I did from the beginning.
Yeah,
I thought this message, and I think virtually everybody, just like the Trump, who's going to vote which way in the presidential thing, I think people know how they're going to vote.
Yes.
On a pro-abortion, pro-life type bill. And we had an extreme bill 6 years ago, and when you didn't have exceptions for rape and incest and these serious health complications, I said it was going to be a problem.
I feel like they're in people aren't going to, you know, put up signs for this, but they're going to go into that voting booth, and a lot of women are going to say, you know, yes on three. I do think there's a lot of men that will
because
not admit they're going to
no
be.
There's no other option for them.
Right, but I think a lot of husbands will also vote yes on three because of that. They may not brag about
they
it or boast
keep their
about
wives.
It.
Right. And no, I mean, I think there are a lot of people who are pro-three, me included, who think that it's not drafted very well. But this is the only option. And if it's left to the legislature, like, we're not getting anything. So
the legislature could have taken care of this.
Yeah, well, you know what? The supermajority in Jefferson City could have taken care of this, and they didn't do it. And that is on them.
They could have done it on gambling, too.
They could have done it on initiative petition. They could have done it on all of this. And instead, we had people, you know, shutting down the legislature for the last two years.
Change in the petition for sure, but here's the challenge. The problem with this, and I heard Elon Musk address this, the people that are against abortion think it's murder. Mm-hmm. They think a mother is ending the life of their child in the womb at any stage. Mm-hmm. So why am I going to come off that? If I really believe it's murder, why would I come off an inch off of that?
Well, it's the same thing that people feel about the death penalty.
Because
they think it's murder.
Because of the political realities in the country.
The realities where you have women who are raped, children.
Morality and political realities.
Yeah.
I mean, you can be... That's the problem, though. I think the extremism is what gets everybody in trouble. You know, the decision in Roe v. Wade, you know, what you want, but it split the baby, and it worked for a lot of years because it acknowledged that there was a reality there that needed to be taken care of. And that being this idea that, okay, all abortion, no matter what, no matter who, when, where, how, it's never going to fly.
Roe v. Wade split 60 million babies.
Well, I mean, you know, how many women have died? How many women are going to die because they cannot get the health care they need? You can't get, I mean, if you have
1% of the babies that will die on Monday.
I had a miscarriage, and I had to get a DNC, and under that law, I wouldn't have been able to, and it would have hurt my health.
There are a lot of women who feel that way. I would get the woman that experienced that to do the commercial, because I don't think it's true.
Well, I'm one. I wouldn't have gotten my DNC.
I'll tell you what, they did the commercial that I saw, John, in Texas that was,
true?
It went too far.
Well, I don't know, but what I'll tell you is pretty effective. It's something that's resonating.
I would have bled out if I hadn't gotten another procedure.
It is true.
Well, there's women that have bled out in the state of Missouri.
I don't know, but I would have, and thankfully I had a doctor where that wasn't an issue.
Let's move on. John Lamping, Steve Butch, Jane Duker. Anything else before I get to a break here? Anything else locally you guys are keeping an eye on?
Well,
it's a Senate race,
county,
a House race?
In the county, there's some ballot initiatives. I mean, this ballot is so long, and I know that's causing a lot of lines. But, you know, county voters, don't forget, vote yes on Proposition C. There has to be a lawyer for the council because right now it's being weaponized and used.
But most people don't really... They're not going to understand that, Jane.
Well, I mean, look.
I voted for it, of course, because I know what it was. But I think a lot of people aren't going to really understand
that. Well, that's why I'm saying it. Because, look, I mean, you know, Congress has their own lawyer. They don't, you know, I mean, the legislature, they have their own lawyer in Jefferson City. They don't, you know, this idea that you know, you have lawyers that get to sue their own clients. They sue the county council. You can't have that.
Don't people kind of default to a no vote if they don't really understand
the issues? Of course, that's why I'm saying it.
It's easier to vote no when you don't understand.
Right. So that's why I'm saying
in the city, we've got four. I think it's a yes vote on all four of them. But you got to be deep in the weeds. And when you actually vote, it's way down in the ballot, too. So once you get past all the elected officials and then the judges to retain them. But I'm like, it's not an excuse to not vote. It's part of the deal.
Hang on. We got one more segment to go. It's the final Reardon Roundtable before Election Day. We're coming back with more in a moment. It's the final Reardon Roundtable before the election. We're tossing a bunch of issues around with Steve Butt, state representative, former state senator John Lapping, who's going to spend a bunch of time with me on election night, maybe even to the next. You better bring a sleeping bag on Tuesday
lunch,
night,
dinner,
John. We may have some cots or something like that. Jane is here. She's going to hang out in the next hour as well. I think one of the most important things that happened this week, we're talking about, you know, a comedian at Madison Square Garden. We're talking about Trump and a garbage can or a garbage truck. I think I put him in the garbage can the other day. I meant the garbage truck. Got Liz Cheney. But what Jeff Bezos wrote in the Washington Post needs to be discussed. It needs to be thoroughly vetted, discussed. We have to have a national debate about this. We won't, of course, we won't do that because no one in the regular media wants to admit how biased and how lack of principles they actually have. Journalism has turned to absolute crap. And the media, in fact, is the enemy of the people. And it's sad. And Jeff Bezos basically admitted that. Here's what he said. Lack of credibility isn't unique to the Post. Our brethren newspapers have the same issue. And it's a problem not only for the media, but for the nation. He's right about that. Many people are turning to off-the-cuff podcasts, inaccurate social media posts, and other unverified news sources, which can quickly spread misinformation and deepen divisions. Mm-hmm. The Washington Post and the New York Times win prizes, but increasingly, we talk to only a certain elite. More and more, we talk to ourselves. While I do not and will not push my personal interest, I will also not allow this paper to stay on autopilot and fade into irrelevance. That was a great message. And there were people all across the country that said, Jeff Bezos, F you, I'm canceling my subscription to your propaganda rag just because of a presidential endorsement. What Jeff Bezos wrote is so important because the media has fallen apart, Steve Butts. They lie about everything. They manipulate the stories. And by the way, the American people are onto it. And it's sad.
Maybe we look at the American press through rose-colored glasses. Maybe we do, since we're on a media platform right here. If you go back, you know, I was in Philadelphia not too long ago, cool city to visit, and there were dozens and dozens of newspapers, self-published back in Ben Franklin's day, making up stories, throwing slander down. I think maybe we look back and say, we used to have this press that was very down the middle, just reported the facts. I think it's always, everybody has their own perspective, their own prejudices, they come with it. Do I think that the best way to do it is to listen to several news sources? I do. Some print media, which I still do, not just American even. So like, I love The Economist, right? It's kind of UK-centric. Couple different radio stations, couple three different cable stations. When you listen to all that together,
But most people don't do that. I mean, they don't have the time to do it.
Which is, hey, you know what? When I'll just bring up Franklin real quick. When he said, what sort of government have you given us, Mr. Franklin? A republic. If you can keep it, there's work. This is the 45th anniversary of Rocky Sickman. It was just on in the Post today. And it was really interesting what he said.
Rocky was one of the hostages during the Iran
hostage situation. I loved it when he said, freedom is not free.
Yeah.
That's right.
When we get to the point that people say, I don't want to stand in line an hour and a half to vote, I'm like, here's dudes that died and lost their legs, so you could stand in line.
But Steve, when I went to the University of Missouri, I graduated in 1986 from the esteemed journalism school. The news director at KLMU, where I worked as a reporter and I covered Harriet Wood's campaign for the United States Senate against Kit Bond, knew what my political stripes were, right? And we knew what the other kids' political stripes were. But they guided us through that in a way that was supposed to manage the stories that we were covering in a fair way, despite what my biases might have been. And I did not bring an agenda to that particular reporting that's existing now in mainstream journalism. Look, there are parts of stories. It's not just the stories that you cover. It's what you omit from your coverage. There was an excellent example, and I'd like to think that there's still this opportunity for the Washington Post and the New York Times. There was a great piece, and I would say this because I agree with the whole premise of it, that was done by the New York Times, sourced and researched for over a year on the DEI program at the University of Michigan. It was an outstanding story. It's a story that you were more likely to see in a Republican or conservative publication or on Fox News. But the reporter at the New York Times couldn't, you know, move against the facts of what was happening at Michigan. It was great. But that's not what you see in most of the reporting. Whether it's very fine people or Liz Cheney or a comedian at Madison Square Garden, they manipulate, they lie, they omit, and they have no credibility.
And I think it goes on both sides. I think there's right-wing stuff that's insane. I think there's left-wing stuff that's insane. That's the problem, is you're having people on both
Where's
sides
the
of
right
the political...
Wing? What is the right-wing media?
What is the right-wing media?
What is it,
Fox?
Okay, so wait. Okay, I'm going to give you that one. Okay? Can you name another?
Fox.
Oh, I mean, there we go. We got another. One. It's Fox. One. You got CBS, NBC, MSNBC, yes, ABC, Fox, CNN. You got Vanity Fair. You have Rolling Stone. You have Vogue. You have everything. Everything. We got a few talk radio shows that are now relevant, and you got podcasters out there. That's all.
Okay,
which is a lot. It reaches millions.
You just proved the point when you said we. That oh, so now because...
See, I'm honest about it, Jane. I'm not trying to lie. People have known that I'm a conservative my entire career.
But you don't address agenda journalism with more agenda journalism. That's the point.
Just the country.
They're all
the
wrong.
Country. The country has one, from the right perspective, Fox, and we just listed seven or eight television stations. Every major newspaper.
Every major newspaper.
National mega. I mean, can you imagine that Melania Trump didn't get one cover as first lady? And that's what you're talking about.
Yeah.
The omission part.
Jane, let's just
I mean,
let's just,
I see it here. When you had the Globe and you had the Post,
well, they checked each other. Paper. Well,
I mean, you know, here's the problem. Newspapers, they're not profitable. This is the problem. The model for delivering news is no longer profitable, meaning that you're not going to get, it's like you're trying to get a public service based on profitability. You're not going to, that model is not going to work. And I don't know what we do about it. I don't claim to be an expert.
But you're going
to
stay in your silo because you want to sell. You want to sell to your customers.
Change could be upon us, because I don't know if you saw this, but RFK talked about one of the first things that Trump is going to do is he's going to sign the executive order that no longer allows pharmaceutical companies to advertise. 75% of cable news revenues are from pharmaceutical companies.
And it is ridiculous.
So
I'm just going to say
that away,
this.
That's what I'm saying. This stuff's going to come off the air.
Well, there's two countries in the whole world that allow that, but we allow it, and that's driving all of their revenue right now. It really is.
So if you pull that out, then you're going to be pulling a lot of, quote, new...
Good.
Well, I mean...
Good. Let them die. Let them die.
We're pulling a lot of propaganda.
Well, how can it be worse than this? I'm fine with the Washington Post, the St. Louis Post-Dispatch.
I would like to see it get better rather than have it
Let
all go away.
Let the Post-Dispatch go away. What value do they have to this community? What value does the Post-Dispatch have to this community outside of shilling for Tish and all the other progressives,
Wait, how
right?
about their breaking the SLDC story
that was
excellent
good journalism.
Reporting
Once
this
in a while,
last
there
month.
Is some good journalism.
Come
but,
on, you can't go there.
You know, I mean...
Yes, I can,
what
Steve,
they did
because...
on SLPS and SLDC...
Oh, what they did on the trans story from Wash U. What was that? And look what happened with that.
I'm giving you two examples in the last couple months where they did really good investigative reporting.
You got a couple.
Stories.
I can name every freaking topic for
the last... There's not enough reporters who can do... You know what? Those year-long... investigations, those are so necessary for the betterment of our society. Like, I want somebody combing the budget, the state budget, and pulling out all the crap that doesn't need to be in there.
That's never going to happen anymore. Well,
right.
It will not happen.
But why is that?
We don't want to pay for that kind of news.
It's because people don't trust the media, because they lie so much.
But if it
That's
were profitable,
why,
somebody would come in and fill the void, and they're not.
They are. Joe Rogan's filling the void. That's what's happening. Podcasters are filling the void because these newspapers and CNN, they've screwed it up.
News.
That's not researched news.
That's fine. Talk radio.
But okay,
but it's news
I'll take the unresearched news because you're lying about everything. So we're going to accept the unresearched stuff because you've lost all the credibility. That's what you guys don't get.
But you don't address, like, you know, unsourced nonsense with more unsourced nonsense. It's bad on both sides.
It is. But this is what we have because of the lack of credibility. When Trump said this, I've said this so many times. When he said the media is the enemy of the people, I thought that was ridiculous. I rejected that. I think he's absolutely right. There is no doubt in my mind that the mainstream media is the enemy of the people. And it's been on display how many times? This guy has been... two assassination attempts, and you guys are out there calling him a Nazi, a fascist, and you expect people to tone down the freaking rhetoric? Are you kidding me?
And where are the articles on the people
Unbelievable.
Trying to kill him? There's nothing. Look, Bezos has to be...
Where's the articles on Joe Biden slobbering over himself for the past 2 years in the White House, by the way? Anyone going to ever do that story? Or not?
Yes.
Or not? No, Steve, who's going to do it? You think the Washington Post will do that? Are you kidding me?
I do.
They won't even do it.
Not a chance.
Only if she loses.
They'll lose another 250,000 subscribers, Steve.
No, even if she wins or loses. That's a story.
They
will not do it.
If she loses, they're going to do it because they're going to blame. They're going to find somebody to blame. Look, Bezos is to be applauded. Bezos...
No, he said the right thing. I agree.
The press is protected in the Constitution for a reason. It's a really important part of the country. The press can be defined as newspapers, television, podcasts, whatever it's going to be. You know, what Musk did with Twitter when 2020 happened and the administration was working hand in glove with Twitter to block and censor, most importantly, the Hunter Biden laptop. Musk stepped in. He bought Twitter. We bought it. It was completely uneconomical, $45 billion. Nobody thought it was worth $45 billion, but that's a guy that couldn't afford to lose billions of dollars at a time. And he offered a platform that is much, it's a fair and honest corner in the market square. And Bezos can do that to print, more power to him. If Trump wins, it's the only scenario under which the pharmaceutical advertising dollars will go away, and that'll crush the television stations. Maybe they'll have somebody else step in that's willing to spend money to get them back, to be fair and honest. Look, I grew up reading everything I could possibly read. I thought everything was pretty, pretty well balanced. I read the Times, I read the Journal, I read the Post, I read everything there was to read. And now it's like the fact that they're reporting today that Trump wants to stand Cheney up and kill her at a firing squad, and that's CNN.
Right. No, I get you. And I have called out. How many times have I, moaned about the Post-Dispatch, about the way they don't cover crime, the way they never ask the city, show us your data and, how are you counting crime? What do you do? I mean, I've been there. But try to find me a reporter that can spend the time to get every piece of crime data and actually do the job that the city won't do. And it's like, I feel sorry for some of these reporters because they're drinking water out of a fire hose as far as trying to get news out. They can't investigate anything.
Well, and I understand that, but they brought this on themselves. We're out of time. John, I'm going to see you on Tuesday night. I can't wait. I think Steve and Jane might pop in and just kind of contribute from the phone. Where are you going to be?
I'm going to be at Joe Peerless's watch party.
Okay. Jane, where are you going to be? Do you know yet?
Jefferson City.
All right. Well, we'll have you both on. Thank you both for coming in here. Final roundtable for the election. John, you're going to hang out, and I appreciate that. Join me in the 5 o'clock hour as well. We got News coming up.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.